topic, the Lord is the Spirit. And what impressed me was that in the Spirit we have the Lord Himself. The Spirit was not yet, it said in John chapter 7, because Jesus had not been glorified yet. But today we have the Spirit with the glorified Christ, with the Christ that did the will of the Father. Glory is when Christ is being revealed. The Spirit that we have is there for us so that Christ can be expressed. Not your abilities, not your special abilities, but that Christ is revealed. He is the reality of all things. And He lives in my spirit. And I have Him, the man Jesus Christ, who sits in the heavens as the Son of Man, but whom I also have received as this wonderful Spirit. We really have to thank the Lord. Everything that the Scripture says has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And today we have the fulfillment dwell in us. And this fulfillment wants to be fulfilled again within us and by us. That is wonderful. I'll touch upon this later again. But it's just a foretaste. In the outline, the first point is that we have received the Spirit, and we received it by the hearing of faith. And God wants to offer this wonderful Christ as the Spirit to all men. He wants to offer Him up. This humanity of the Lord that we saw this morning in just a few aspects is so attractive. It is so inviting. He is the shepherd. I was lost. I was hungry, I was thirsty, and the Lord brought me to the flock. The Lord knows what my soul needs. He leads me and renews my soul. These are wonderful characteristics. If you haven't listened to this morning's message, I encourage you to listen to what the Lord speaks to His church. The Lord has done everything that we by faith can accept Him, not by works of the law. If it was by the works of the law, it would be exclusive again. Who can do these works? Who determines which works are required? But it will not be done by works, and it will never be done by works. In chapter 5, in Galatians 3, verse 5, it says that we have received the Spirit by the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law. In Titus 3, it says that the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, but there is a division. There's one thing that separates us from God and from the Spirit of God. There's a reason why the Spirit cannot just flow into us men. And in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it shows that it is our sins. Our iniquities have separated us from our God. What separates me from the Spirit is my iniquities, my sins, my unrighteousness. The Spirit will not take any part of that. The Spirit will say to you, look at the cross of the Lord. Look at the salvation that the Lord has done for you. Take the blood. Let him cleanse you, confess your sins, and then you will receive the Spirit. Believe in his name and believe that he has resurrected him from the dead. Then believe that he is able to wash you as white as snow, the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world. Nothing else is needed. And then rejoice over the gift of God. Rejoice over the Spirit that now dwells in you. But where does it dwell? Where in you does the Spirit dwell? If we say, how wonderful that the Spirit is in us today, but where is it? In your emotion, your mind. Today I feel good. Today the Spirit dwells in me. Hallelujah. Tomorrow I don't feel so good. I feel bad or poorly, and then I don't know where the Spirit dwells in me anymore. That's not how the Spirit dwells in us. That's why we need to know, where in me does the Spirit dwell? And the Lord has a clear answer to that. It became clear in his dialogue with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he knew the scriptures, and the Lord immediately told him, if you are not being born again from... If you are not born again, then you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, and then Nicodemus wondered, how can an old man like me be born again? How can he go back into his mother's womb? And the Lord says, what is born of this flesh is flesh. That's John chapter 3, verse 6. You can be born again 50 times by your mother's body, but it will not change anything. Flesh is flesh. And no flesh is righteous before God. I am not righteous before God. Whether I have many sins or few sins, I am flesh. By the fall of man, we are all flesh. But what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And there is something in me that is born of the Spirit. And what is that? That I sometimes sense and sometimes don't sense as much. In Zechariah 12, verse 1, we read, that God formed the spirit of man within him. You are a man, and God formed in you a spirit, a human spirit. That is wonderful. God gave us a human spirit. And this spirit, and in this spirit I can receive God's spirit. That's not in my soul. I don't receive him in my mind. I don't receive him in my emotion or with supernatural expectations. But I receive him in my spirit by faith, not by my emotion. Faith is focused on God. The emotion is always focused on how I feel. But the spirit of man is not his soul. It is a different part. And that's where God dwells. And to that part I can turn. Man is the crown of creation. Why is that? How can man be the crown of creation when he's flesh? Because he has a spirit. The spirit is what makes you special. The Spirit makes you to a special man, to a chosen man, to a called person, to a man who has been called into his purpose, into his church. That all happens by the Spirit. The crown of creation. For that God dwells in our spirit when we have received Him. And He wants, by the Spirit, He wants to spread by His Spirit into our soul. And there He wants to reign. He wants to reign through man on this earth. And for that He has given us His Spirit. He wants that we experience Him as our life, as our everything, as the one through whom we can reign in life. I reign through Christ. I live by Christ. That is wonderful.
And it is unauflösbar. This Einheit.
And this unity of my spirit and God's spirit cannot be dissociated again. Just to give a small illustration, if I have hot water and a tea bag, and I dip the tea bag into the hot water, what do you get? Hot tea. There is a mingling of the tea with the water. I don't know whether it's physically possible, but in the spiritual sense, it is impossible to separate those two again. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And to this Spirit we can always turn. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a verse about the new creation. Let's read that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone has received the Spirit, he is a new creation. By our being born again, a new creation entered me. God the Father, the Son, have started to dwell in me. That is wonderful. That wasn't like that before. When I was 19 years old, there was no new creation in me. And when I was 20, I took this step. And suddenly there was a new creation in me. I was so happy. I received the Lord in my spirit. And this new creation makes everything new in me now. God's focus is solely on this new creation in me. In Revelation chapter 21, the Lord will make everything outward new. The heavens, the earth, He'll make it new. We'll have a new heaven and a new earth. But my heart, He won't make it new at that point. He makes it new today. Right now, He wants to make it new if I let Him make it new. If I let this new creation in me, if I give it room, then He will be faithful to make me new as well. And then I match the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells, but only if this new creation has renewed my whole being, transformed my whole being into His image. As we heard in the first meeting, we are being built out of what Christ is Himself, as His bride, that we gain the substance of the Lord in our whole being, that we allow Him to gain His expression and His image in us. This treasure we have in earthen vessels, we are still earthen, we realize that. We get older, we're fragile, more frail, the body is a body of perdition, but we have a treasure in us, an eternal treasure, and this treasure should become richer and richer. And how does it become richer? By us gaining Him, by letting Him work in us. And in Him we've also come to the fullness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 says,
verborgenen Reichtümer an Erkenntnis und Weisheit immer wieder neu zu entdecken.
And therefore we now want to discover again and again all these treasures and all the treasures of wisdom. I also want to mention another picture. It is like the Spirit is also like a key that opens the door to the riches of Christ. The Spirit is the key,
um die verborgenen Schätze, die in unserem Geist sind, zu entdecken.
To discover the hidden treasures that are in our spirit already. And we have to turn that key.
Das heißt, wenden.
Turn to the Spirit. It's not difficult. Every day, how many times do you put a key into a keyhole and turn it and open the door and enter in? The same way, when we get to the door, to our house, any other door that is locked, every time remember, Lord, the key is my spirit. Just like I open this door now, I turn to you. It's a good reminder to remember the Lord lives in my spirit, and the key to the experience of the Lord is my spirit. When we open up, then we can also touch and behold the Lord. When I open up the Word, when I open up my Bible, and I have used my Spirit and opened the door, then the Lord can also give me light in His Word, give me revelation in my reading, and in my Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Which Spirit? By which Spirit? That is God's Spirit mingled with my Spirit. This Spirit is now the mingled Spirit to which I can turn when I turn to my Spirit. That's where God dwells. For God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Just like with the door, it's also the same in our life. The door does not open automatically. I do need the key. There are some doors that just have a button or a light-activated door opener. But most doors in the classic sense still require a key. So we're not automatically in the Spirit. Don't think that your emotion is Spirit. That would be terrible. Then I would always have to wait for the right emotion. We're not automatically in the Spirit, but we can always turn to the Spirit. We can always open this door. can always, the Lord rejoices every time that we open the door. He's already waiting for us. He always knocks. He knocks at the door. Open the door. Let me in. So therefore, turn to the Spirit often, as often as you want. It's your call. It's your decision. You have the key. If you have the key, it's your call when you open that door. But the more often you turn, the more the Lord can reveal the deep things of God. And if I love Him more, I like to come to Him. I rejoice. I look forward to coming to Him. I look forward to turning to Him. In the evening, I'm happy when I enter my apartment to see my wife, my children, my guests, but I can only come in with my key. And I rejoice about the Lord. I rejoice over the Lord, how rich He is, but I only come to Him when I turn to my spirit. And so many do not know this key. So many Christians don't even know that we have such a key, that we have a human spirit to which we can turn. But praise the Lord, we know this key. And the Lord is also very gracious. He knows us, that we are earthen vessels. And He's given us some extra help that we can really enter in through this door. And that is His name. He's given us His name, Jesus. This morning we heard He is the Savior. He is our Savior God. What does He save you from? And what does He save you into? He saves you from your soul into the Spirit. It's very simple. He saves me from my natural being, from the way how I feel, how I experience myself, to experiencing the Lord. When I received the Lord, I was so happy that I can turn to the Lord. I don't have to stay in myself. I don't have to look at my own faults. I don't have to circle around myself the whole time. But there is someone who is waiting for me, who gives me life, who renews me, who has given Himself for me out of love, who wants to be everything for me. We have an all-inclusive spirit. Now it's just a matter to come to Him and to let Him prove it to me in my life. Let the Spirit prove it to you that He wants to be everything to you. So pay attention to your key. The world and the enemy comes to steal. Sometimes it's like a thief. He's trying to steal that key. He's trying to fill you up with teachings and doctrines about the Spirit of God. The devil, he presents himself as the angel of light. How can you examine what kind of spirit is trying to gain control over you? I can only do that when I turn to the Spirit of God. Then I realize this is a different spirit. That's not the words of God that this false spirit is speaking. Stick to the Lord. Stay with Him. Pay attention to your key. Don't let any pickpocket steal it. That's why Paul said to Timothy, the Lord be with your spirit. Pay attention to your key. There will be a lot of strange doctrines, and there will be many coming, and it will be a difficult time, and it will be difficult. Pay attention to your key. Don't lose it. The key is our guarantee. Turning to the Spirit is my guarantee that I can gain the Lord, that I stay in the church, that I do what He wants.
Und in ihm haben wir
die
reiche Versorgung.
We have the full supply.
Ich möchte Philipper 1:19 lesen.
I'd like to read Philippians chapter 1 verse 19 to 21. Let's read that together. Philippians chapter 1 verse 19 to 21.
Können wir zusammen lesen. Allen Sprachen.
Let's read it together in all languages at the same time. These verses are so wonderful.
Ich war ein wenig entrückt, als ich diese Verse gelesen.
When I read these verses, I was a little bit
glücklich.
I was so
wunderbar.
Happy and so filled.
Denn ich
These are wonderful verses, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation.
Wie ich sehnlich erwarte und hoffe, dass ich in nichts zu schanden werde,
according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen. Wir haben in Kapitel, in Vers 19 eine reiche Versorgung. Aber wofür ist diese
in verse 19 we have a rich supply. But what is it for? To magnify Christ.
Groß zu machen an uns.
To magnify Christ in our body.
Und dafür haben wir den Geist der Wahrheit.
And for that we receive the Spirit of Truth.
Der Geist der Wahrheit, der uns in die Wahrheit,
the Spirit of Truth that leads us into all reality to live Christ. The Spirit of Truth that leads us into truth and into reality.
In die Wahrhaftigkeit leitet, dass Christus jetzt
that Christ would be my life right now. So many think, hopefully Christ can live through me. Or, Lord, I want to live through you. I wish you would live by through me today. But Paul says, Christ is being magnified. He will be magnified. That is really spoken by faith. By faith, Christ can be magnified in my body. But for that, I need the Spirit of Truth that leads me into all reality. Into the reality of living Christ.
Der Geist,
the Spirit
der Wahrheit,
of Truth
schöpft aus der Fülle.
Takes from the fullness.
Johannes 16,
in John chapter 16 we read,
nehmen.
He will take it.
Der kennt dich, der Geist der Wahrheit. Er ist ja die Wahrheit. Er kennt die Wahrheit, die in dir ist. Er kennt dein Herz. Er kennt deine Verfassung.
He'll take of mine the Spirit.
He
is the Spirit of Truth. There's nothing that is hidden from this wonderful Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth knows in every situation what you need of Christ. What exactly of Christ you need, he knows in every situation. And he takes from the fullness and offers it to you. He gives it to you. He says, come, believe in me. Take. Believe in what I'm giving to you. Take it. And in faith, we take it. A word that the Lord speaks to us. A sense on how the Lord leads us by His anointing. Sometimes it's a restlessness. The Spirit leads us in different ways by His Word, but He's also like a soft wind. Like Stefan said, He wants to take us with Him as a light wind, and we just follow this wind.
And
the Spirit leads in different ways, but He always leads in a way that we can also translate it. He gives us words of life that we can believe, that fit our situation, so that we can live Christ in it and touch Him and enter into the reality of the Spirit in us. So that we don't just say, thank you, Lord, for your rich supply, but we can also say, thank you, Lord, that you have become my life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul says, Christ is our life, or to live to me is Christ.
Er möchte uns
He wants to let us partake in all situations, day by day. He wants us to partake of this Christ, portion by portion, from one situation to the next. Last week I had a situation where I was woken up. I was sick at the time, but the secretary from my school called me and said, Matthias, there's someone who's creating a lot of problems. The situation had escalated at work. And then she hung up, and I tried to call the person that had created the problems, and I couldn't reach him. And the Spirit touched me and called me, turn to me first. Let me first give you something. Don't go without equipment. Don't go without being prepared by me. Let me prepare you. And I was so glad that I can let the Spirit supply me before I went into that situation. Isn't it wonderful that we have someone who wants to supply us? The Lord likes to supply us. And then I prayed for 10 minutes. And I called on the Lord. Lord Jesus. I was woken up. But then when the word came, I was immediately in the Spirit, and I was so relieved. Revelation chapter 4. It was a different situation, but immediately I was in the Spirit. And I called on the Lord and quickly opened up the door and came to the Lord to allow the Spirit of truth to bring me something of the riches of the Lord that is appropriate for this situation. It was so wonderful. And after 2 hours, I drove home and I was... So I praised the Lord for this experience. I said, Lord, you were wonderful in me in this situation. I'm not like that usually. And I really had to give the praise to the Lord. And I told my wife, and she said, and you remained calm in that situation? And I said, yes, I was completely calm. And the guy was just screaming at me and was making a big noise. But the Lord in me was greater. I was supplied. I was so calm. I was in Christ. And I was full of joy. If I had not turned to the Lord first, I think the day would have gone very differently. It would have been destined to fail. And the enemy would have won in that situation. But praise the Lord, we have the Spirit of truth that we can that supplies us with everything that we need. Every one of us. Don't think, Matthias is being supplied because, but I, the Spirit, well, no, the Spirit also supplies you. The Spirit does not distinguish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And distributes to each one. Look at your neighbor and say, to each one individually. He distributes to you differently than to me. To me too? Yes, you also for you. It supplies you too. Not in the same way as to me individually, but as you need it. I've grown a little older now, and I have a family and two children, and the Spirit supplies me in a different way than 30 years ago. Or maybe not 30, maybe just 25 years ago. 25 years ago, I can say. 30 years would be too many, but 25 years ago it was, the distribution of the Spirit was different. The distribution of the Spirit is different in younger saints than in older saints, and in fathers of a family different than in single brothers, in sisters different than in brothers. But it's all the same Spirit. And that's what makes it so rich. The Lord is not limited to just specific portions of the menu, like on a menu where you can pick between 20 different variations of food. No, the Lord is much richer than that. He distributes in every situation individually. When I come home tonight, He wants to distribute in a different way than before the meeting. And tomorrow morning, again, in a different way. In a new way, in a fresh way. It's adventurous, in a way. I want to discover this, like a good land. I don't know what comes after the next hill, behind the next hill. It's so exciting with the Lord. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. But I do know that the Lord is with my spirit, and I have the key, and I can turn, and the Spirit of truth leads me also tomorrow into all reality to live the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's also touch upon the Comforter.
Ich habe bei dem Tröster drei wunderbare Wirkungen. Das ist auch der Geist.
The Spirit is also the Comforter.
Der Geist der Wahrheit,
He is the Spirit of truth that leads us into all reality, but He is also the Spirit as the Comforter, a helper, an advocate.
Und den brauchen wir auch.
And we also need that. The Lord is so balanced. For every situation, He is the right one.
Ja, wir brauchen alle Trost.
And we all need comfort.
Und in der Liebe
and
ist ein wichtiger Bestandteil Trost.
Big part of love is comfort.
Lieben ihre Kinder.
Parents love their children. I love my children. And when they are sad,
dann sage ich nicht, du. Ich lieb dich.
I don't say to my children, hey, I love you.
Ich möchte dich trösten.
But I say, hey, I want to comfort you.
Ich lieb sie, aber
I love them,
diese Liebe hat auch
but
den Trost.
This love includes the comfort. Love can comfort.
Und so auch der Herr, er kann.
And in the same way, the Lord can comfort us.
Warum brauchen wir den Trost?
Why do we need the comfort?
Weil in der Welt haben wir Drangsal.
Because in the world we have tribulations, the word said. We experience suffering, difficult situations. The Lord does not save us from that. I cannot expect the Lord to lead me that I will have no tribulations, that I will have no difficulties, that I don't need to be comforted. No, the Lord says, we have a hymn, the Lord did not promise just sunshine. Our days should not be that easy. That's what the song says. That's true. This life, in some ways, is troublesome.
Ja, und manchmal auch haben wir also die Trübsal, die Drangsal kommt einmal
tribulations from the outside.
Manchmal bricht sie auch herein.
Sometimes it really
aber manchmal auch von innen. Wenn wir uns sehen,
overwhelms us, and sometimes it also comes from the inside when the Lord examines us and we realize
schafft es der Herr mit mir?
That we have doubts that the Lord, whether the Lord can make it with us. We shouldn't say to others, oh, the Lord won't manage to perfect you. But it's also dangerous to say, oh, the Lord won't be able to finish his work with me. And then I'm sad and disappointed because I have expectations to myself the last few years. And then what I was hoping for did not happen. Expectations that weren't fulfilled, and then I realized how limited I am, and I have so much trouble memorizing Bible verses. I have so little prayer in me. When I come home, I'm just tired. Lord, maybe, I don't know. And then I don't have the energy to come to the meeting. And then I'm just sad. And then we do need comfort. When we experience too much suffering without comfort, then our heart becomes hard. And there will be bitterness. Why is it always happening to me? Why this or why that? When children are not being comforted by their parents and in their sadness and suffering, you just leave them alone, that's very dangerous for the relationship to the parents. When parents say, oh, I don't have time for you, just leave me alone. Leave me alone, go away. What happens to the heart of the child? Bitterness will rise up. But that's why we need a God that comforts us, who comforts us in all our tribulations. In 2 Corinthians chapter
3.
And there's another example that I would like to share tonight. Just like someone in the scripture had to experience great sadness, and how they dealt with it is a great help for us. And that is Hannah, the wife of
Elkanah.
Elkanah had a second wife, Penina. And Hannah did not have children. And Penina had children. And they went to Silo to make an offering once a year. And Penina gave Hannah a hard time. We can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 1.
In 1 Samuel 1, Vers 6.
In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. What happens to such a heart which is always being provoked? There is someone who always provokes me. That could be a colleague at work, another student in school. Sometimes the Lord allows that. Sometimes the Lord allows that. All of a sudden I got a colleague.
Gereizt bis aufs Fleisch.
Who's so provoking.
Gereizt bis aufs Fleisch. Herr, warum?
Provokes me to my flesh, and I ask the Lord, why, Lord?
Über Jahre.
Years, for many years, 3 years, I had this colleague at the same school.
Aber es ist gut. Es ist gut.
But in hindsight, it was good for me. It has served for my salvation. I prayed for him actually again and again, and I realized it's good for me that I have this colleague so that I seek the Lord. This colleague keeps me awake. But Hannah also needed the comfort. Don't just say, oh, it's good that I have someone who provokes me like that. Not just like say, oh, it's all fine, but you also have to give your children a hug and comfort them and speak to them, and we also can ask the Lord the same thing. Lord, comfort me that my heart remains soft and does not become hard. Because Hannah in verse 8 then wept and did not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Elkanah tried to comfort her. And human comfort is well meant, but does not take away the bitterness. The bitterness that is created by sadness. Human comfort cannot do that. It's nice when people comfort me, but it's not comparable to God's comfort. The comfort of the Spirit, of the Comforter, the Helper, goes further. In verse 9, it says, so Hannah arose. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting there, and then in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and so forth. And Eli watched her as she was praying, and he thought that she was drunk with wine and cannot control her mouth. But in verse 16, Hannah said, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered, and so on and so forth. And it says that she poured out her heart. In verse 15, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I experience the Comforter by pouring out our heart before the Lord. sometimes it's good to do that when something has accumulated that needs comfort. After I tried to fix something myself and I realize it doesn't work, it will just get worse, then pour out your heart before the Lord. Maybe she could take it for a few years, but at some point it was enough. And then it's so good to pour out our heart before the Lord. And when we do that, the Lord pours comfort into our hearts when we pour out our hearts before Him. Even while we pour out our hearts, He provides the comfort already. And we see a consecration here that Hannah immediately consecrated her son to the Lord. When the Lord can comfort us as the Spirit that dwells in us, as this Christ, with His humanity, then that also works in us a new level of consecration. The Lord does free us from all suffering, from all sadness. We don't have to remain in sadness, but come to the Lord and experience Him as your comforter in your situation, to really comfort you in your specific situation. Like Andreas said this morning, some sheep, sometimes you have to carry on your arms. It's so nice. When my dad picked me up when I was younger, that was so nice. It was such a comfort when my dad picked me up when I was a little child.
Schafft Vertrauen, Hingabe und in Kapitel 2, Vers 1 heißt es, und Hannah betete und sprach.
And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Wow, what a change. My heart rejoices in the Lord. The same Hannah was saying these words, and only because she poured out her heart before the Lord. So simple. The Lord does not expect much from us, nothing great, other than pouring out your heart. Everyone can pour out his heart towards a friend or towards your wife. I can pour out my heart. Then why don't you also just pour it out before the Lord? The Lord only asks us to do what we can already do.
Wunderbar. Mein Herz jauchzt in dem Herrn.
My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Praise the Lord. I rejoice in your salvation. And on Tuesday in our prayer meeting, we enjoyed Psalm 46.
Da steht in Vers 2.
And in verse 2, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1.
Und was bewirkt der Trost noch?
And what else does the comfort work in us? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2,
heißt es, dass ihre Herzen getröstet werden.
It says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ.
So wenn wir uns zu diesem Tröster wenden,
when we turn to this Comforter, when we come to Him in our spirit, He lives in our spirit, this Comforter. Then He can also build us up together, fit our hearts together, because they have been comforted. Comfort works edification. In the building up, we need comfort. And it serves the growth of the church. When Paul was still Saul and persecuted the church in Jerusalem and took them in the saints into to prison
and locked them up.
And many in Jerusalem saw that and ran away and fled before this angry man put them into prison. What did they do? They took the word and declared it. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. These saints have experienced a lot of suffering. Saul went all the way to Damascus and wanted to go all the way to Damascus, and on the way there, in many cities, he led away many saints to prison in Jerusalem. Some were even killed. And he gave his approval, Saul. Families were separated. One parent was gone. We can't even imagine that. What kind of suffering, what a kind of pain that was, what Saul created or caused there among the saints, among the believers. But the God of all comfort comforted them. Even in this persecution, he could comfort them. And that is an example for us. If the Lord was able to comfort the saints in those cities, in Galilee, in Samaria, then, Lord, you can also comfort me in my situation. It's such an example to see the saints in that situation. And I'm sure their neighbors knew and their friends knew that someone was led away and disappeared, and they were so comforted by the Lord. I want to know this God. It's such a testimony. It's such an exhibit of the life of the Lord. It's such a magnification of the Lord in the body of the saints that have gone through this suffering. And it serves the multiplying of the Lord. No matter what happens, he will do everything to our salvation. He works, lets all things work together for our good, for our best, and for his best, for our salvation, for the multiplication of the church, and for the edification and the fitting and knitting together of the hearts. We have such a wonderful God. Amen.